As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Late night, midnight on the interstate, and I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source with Michael Russo. Thanks as always for tuning in. It's been a long time. I've taken several weeks off here in off-season mode. So much has changed, yet so many things have stayed the same. Like the Vikings are 0-2, missed a field goal to lose a game. Kirill Kaprizov is still unsigned. We'll get to that in a bit. But really, really happy about this relaunch of the podcast as we begin the 2021-22 season, my 17th covering the Minnesota Wild. And I'm happy to be joined by today guests Marco Rossi and Matt Boldy, two players that we've gotten to know fairly virtually here the last year and a half during the pandemic. I've especially gotten to know Marco. He's just given me really incredible access to himself, talked to him a lot via WhatsApp, via text, and then finally getting to meet him face to face, watch him play hockey, sit down with him for a podcast. It was really a treat. He's such a well-spoken, smart kid. And let me just tell you right now, after seeing him on the ice, he is absolutely the real deal. There's just so much about his game that I like, not just the way the puck just explodes off his stick, but his work ethic, his smarts, his mobility, his ability and willingness to play in traffic. And then to sit down with him and hear everything that he's gone through and overcome here in the last several months, it's just really been a cool opportunity to sit down with him and watch him. And he definitely excited Wild fans this week, along with Matt Boldy, who we've gotten to know a lot here the last couple of years, watching him succeed, especially his sophomore season at Boston College, win gold at the World Juniors up in Alberta, and then go and see him become an Iowa Wild player and average more than a point a game in his 14 games there. He nearly played in the playoffs, and he is definitely here to try to make this team. Both these kids are. So we sit down with both Marco and Matt for really fun conversations, about 15 minutes each that you'll hear coming up. But really cool is that they both put on a show at the Prospect Tournament this week, the Tom Curvis Prospect Showcase against the Chicago Blackhawks. The Wild left the Traverse City Tournament in large part because it was just too busy. You know, you brought in a lot of first-year college guys, first-year pros, invitees. They played four games in 5 nights in Traverse City. And then by the time they advanced to either going back to their junior teams or going back to their pro teams or colleges, or coming to training camp and potentially making the team, the Wild felt that these kids were essentially burnt out. And now having Chicago and Minnesota in alternating years host these tournaments, next year the Wild will go to Chicago, then back to Minnesota, and hopefully they have a long relationship. The hope is that these guys, not only do they get rest during the week, but now they go into training camp and they are, one, confident, but two, you know, not burnt out, not tired, not hurting. And now, you know, especially in a year where the Wild have roster spots open, two or three forward spots, depending on what happens with Kaprizov, maybe a defenseman spot. We'll see if they keep AD or if somebody gets hurt in camp and gives Kalen Addison a shot. Now these guys will go in feeling confident and have a chance to really compete and push some of these veterans that are standing in their way to maybe getting a job. But what was really cool about this tournament here in St. Paul was, in large part, all the kids showed up and they performed and they produced. And that especially are their top prospects, guys like Rossi, Boldy, Adam Beckman, Kalen Addison, Nick Swaney was great, Mitchell Chafee was great, Damien Giroux were great. A lot of their first round picks showed really well on the back end, guys like Ryan O'Rourke and Damon Hunt and Carson Lambos, which was really cool for what he's gone through the last year to look as good as he did this week. And, you know, again, I haven't covered any of the Traverse City tournaments, but the Wild have largely been unsuccessful there, and they're not only have they gotten guys hurt there, but a lot of their, you know, so-called hyped prospects that have gone there haven't come back with any stats. And here the Wild win both games. They win 3-2 on Friday night, coming back from behind in third period, and then today on Sunday, same thing, get a tying goal late with 4 seconds left by Marco Rossi, then a shootout winner by Nick Swaney. So they win two games, but Matt Boldy was outstanding, scored a couple goals today, set up Marco Rossi's third period goal on Friday night. Today, Rossi, as I mentioned, not only scores the tying goal with 4 seconds left off a great play by Mitchell Chafee, but he gets a couple of assists on early goals by Matt Boldy. So the one assist that he had where he stood up Lucas Reichel for a defensive zone turnover, we've seen that so much from him in these two games. I mean, the amount of times that Marco Rossi made plays in the Chicago end to create potential potential scoring chances or an actual goal, it was you know, at least a half dozen times. So this is stuff that he works with his trainers back home, Dylan Stanley and a couple other people. He puts them in instinctual plays where all of a sudden he can learn different parts of the game and then execute it. And we saw it happen potentially today. So, you know, it was just really cool to see. And again, Boldy, same thing, just the real deal. Loves to have the puck, loves to shoot the puck. The way he quarterbacks the power play down low against along the goal line was outstanding. Kalen Addison looked fabulous out there. Beckman has that shoot first mentality, which I think a lot of us that have covered a lot of Wild prospects with pass first mentalities really appreciate. But again, just seeing all the other guys come ready to play and perform was pretty cool to see. So it gives you an optimistic feeling going into training camp here. So let's get to the bad feelings going into training camp here. Training camp starts Wednesday. It's Sunday night, and Kirill Kaprizov still isn't signed. Billy Guerin said today just how disappointed he is with that fact, but made it very clear that they'll keep on working on it here the next 2-3 days. But if training camp starts on Wednesday and Kirill Kaprizov isn't here, the focus is just going to be on the guys that are here and trying to put this team together as they continue to try to negotiate with Kirill Kaprizov. The problem is now, even if he signed imminently, like say Monday it gets done, he's still got to get a work visa and he's still going to need to quarantine for 7 days once he eventually gets over here. And as we've seen in the past, it's not simple and a quick process oftentimes to get a work visa in the best of times, let alone a pandemic. So who knows, even if he signs imminently, when he's going to show up here. But regardless now, if he signs imminently or if he doesn't, the Wild are going to be without Kirill Kaprizov for a large part of training camp, which again opens the doors to guys like Beckman, Rossi, Boldy to maybe make the team. Also other guys, if the Wild decide that there's no spot for Boldy in the top nine or he can't perform in training camp, or same thing with Beckman, maybe a Freddie Goudreau goes to that spot on the second or third line, and then a Connor Dewar or Brandon Duhame have a chance to make the team on the fourth line, because I can't see one of these top six or nine forwards playing in a fourth line role. Or if they need a 13th forward, maybe you give that to somebody like Kyle Rau, who's paid his dues in the minors for a long, long time, has gotten some NHL games. But Kaprizov still isn't done. Wild are extremely frustrated about, you know, according to my sources, this 5-year, $45 million contract-ish has been on the table for several weeks, and yet it's still not done. And this is a player that the Wild value incredibly. He's extremely important to this team. We all know what a star he is and how absolutely critical he is for the success of this team this season. But the Wild feel like they've gone to $9 million for a guy that's played 55 games against seven teams, not an 82-game season, not against 32 teams, somebody that's played in an odd year 55 games. And he's a fabulous player, but how do you go more than nine? So I think the Wild are just going to stand firm here and keep this thing on the table. And then at some point, maybe Kirill accepts the contract, which again, if he just takes 5 years, 45, to me, that's still extremely disappointing that something that could have been done a month ago gets done and it's going to cause him to miss the start of camp. To me, it's amazing that they've gotten to this point with somebody that I think a lot of teams never thought would get more than $7 million a year on a 5-year term, let alone nine. You know, right now, I think one of the big issues here is that the Wild have sort of set a precedent the last couple of years of not giving signing bonuses. Jared Spurgeon got about $8 million of his 50-something million dollars in signing bonuses, about 7% of his contract, I believe it was. But Jonas Brodin, Marcus Foligno, Ryan Hartman, I know I'm forgetting something. Well, Erickson Ek, obviously. None of those contracts included signing bonuses, and that's just something that Billy Guerin's trying to do here. And I think a lot of it probably is, you know, personal to Craig Leopold. You know, with Zach Parise and Ryan Suter bought out after 9 years, they got 88 of their $98 million that were supposed to be intended on a 13-year term in 9 years based on the signing bonuses they got earlier in their career. So these are players that essentially, let's do that math real quick. 88 divided by 9 had $11 million cap hits rather than the original 7 point whatever that they were expected to have. So I think that after the signing bonuses with that, I think that Bill Guerin is trying to basically just not put signing bonuses into these deals. And again, that might, you know, you as a fan that want to see Kirill Kaprizov in the lineup, which I absolutely respect, might say, well, what the heck, just give him the signing bonus, write him a check for $5 million and get it done with. But, you know, look, to me, the signing bonus is him getting $9 million. You know, I just, again, after covering this league now, my 27th year coming up, I've never seen a negotiation like this. I know that Bill says it happens all the time and they're not the only team in this situation, but guys like Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson that are established in the game, Brady Tkachuk even, they have games under their belt. Kirill's got 55 games, and I don't think anybody on a 5-year term ever thought it would get higher than 6 million, 7 million. I've talked to a lot of agents the last month that are just amazed that the Wild are willing to spend nine on Kirill, and it's still not done. And so it's frankly unreal that he's going to be late to camp here, but we'll see if they can get it done. But again, roster spots are open. This should be an eventful training camp. It's going to be fun to see if these young guys who succeeded in a rookie tournament now in the big stage going up against NHL players in a more structured environment, if they could be as good, as impactful, as noticeable as they were in this rookie tournament. You know, I got a lot of tweets today like, well, they showed they belonged. You know, there's no doubt that they should make the team. They couldn't have done anything more. Well, yeah, they couldn't have done anything more in the rookie tournament, but they still have main camp ahead. And things change quite differently, as we've seen in the past, once you get into exhibition games, when you're going up against great defensive forwards like Joel Eriksson Ek or great defensemen like Spurgeon, Dumba, in training camp, things like that. So we'll see if the Rossies and the Beckmans and the Boldies can, you know, continue to make things difficult and make a hard decision for management. But without further ado, you know, one of my favorite interviews that I've done in a long, long time, somebody that I've gotten to know, over WhatsApp, over Skype, all sorts of things the last several months, Marco Rossi. Here's Marco right now. Well, Marco, really happy to be first meeting you face to face. I feel like I've gotten to know you the last year, just talking to you so much on WhatsApp and things like that. Welcome to Minnesota officially now that you can go on the ice.
Yeah, thanks very much. And good to see you now in person, too.
Exactly. First of all, what was it like out there today? First on the ice, we know, which I don't think was a shocker, but it seemed like you were really excited to just get out there for your first official skate with the Wild.
Yeah, it felt amazing. I was waiting for a long time now for that moment, because I remember when I was injured, you're just like waiting for that moment to be finally the first time to be on the ice with the team and just skating out there, because that's like the most passion I have, and that's just where I love to be. I love to be on the ice, and especially around here in Minnesota. I love it here. So yeah, I was looking for a long time now for that moment, and today when I realized, okay, today is the first time I go on the ice, and it starts like with the rookie camp, I just had like so much excitement before the practice. And of course, like during the practice, I was just happy, and it felt really good out there.
And you got to skate with a fellow first round pick, Matt Boldy. How much have you gotten to know him? Is this pretty much the last couple of days getting to know him for the first time?
Yeah, last week I met him the first time.
Uh-huh.
So we had just like some exchanges and to get to know him a little bit better. But I think on the ice, we have a really good chemistry. I think we can see it out there. We always try to find each other with some good passes. But I think each day we always like going to be better together. So, yeah, but so far it's really good with him.
And Marco skated also with Mitchell Chafee on his line as well today, another Wild prospect that signed out of UMass last year. Take us back, and I know that you're probably tired of even talking about this, and hopefully we'll never talk about it again, but bring us back to last January and just what it was like to get here. I know that you said that you didn't feel right at the World Junior Championships, but didn't really think anything of it. And then you get to Minnesota, and you're immediately given a phone call that you didn't pass your physical.
Yeah, exactly. So it all started like at the World Junior. Beginning was like I didn't feel really good, but you're not thinking too much about it. Okay, what's the problem? Maybe, I don't know. I was just thinking, okay, maybe I didn't sleep good, jet lag, or there were like so many minds that I went through. But you never like expect from the worst thing. You never think about, okay, it's going to be my heart or anything else. So then when I came here to Minnesota, they said, okay, today we have the medical test for you. So I was like just doing it. And then I was ready normally like for the next day to practice for the first time. So like for the whole day, I was like really looking for it and was ready to be finally tomorrow and then on the ice. But before I went to bed, I got a call and they said, you can't practice tomorrow. We got to do more medical checks on you. So I was surprised by that. And they said like, you can't do any sport today. So those news were like really shocking for me at the beginning because I wasn't really sure what's going on right now. So they told me, okay, yeah, we found something in the blood work and blah, blah, blah. Then, yeah, since that, I always did like everyday testing, and I didn't really know what's going on. And then they were like, yeah, it's something around my heart. And they didn't really like say exactly what it was. So that was like the scary part because there were like so many things they were saying.
Yeah.
We don't know what is the true thing right now. So especially like for my parents back home, it was scary because they are not here. They can't come here. And they just hear like bad news every day. And there's like no good news. So I think for my family, it was really hard. And for like for me too, I was very happy that I lived at Thomas' place because he was supporting me a lot. And I'm thankful for that. So I don't know what I would do if I would be alone in an apartment or hotel room. So I was thankful for that. But it wasn't really easy for that. And I was really lucky, like after 3 weeks, when we could know, okay, what it was, then I had a really good conversation with Bill, and he understood me really well in that situation. He said, okay, go home to Austria. You need the support from your family because it's a really serious thing what you need, and you need like a strong like environment around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my family and my heart doctor from back home because I know him since I was 10 years old. So I have a lot of trust in him, what he's doing with me, and he knows my heart the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had like the best feeling with him. And as we see, that was like the best decision I could make.
Yep. And Thomas Vanek, former Wild and Gopher star and probably the best Austrian player in history and somebody you looked up to. I mean, it almost shows that things happen for a reason. I mean, just that you had, you know, I know that you had never really met Thomas before, but you had a texting relationship with him when you were with the Ottawa 67s. How much your dad called him almost like a second dad to you when you were here. I mean, how much did it help that he was bringing you to the doctor's appointments? He was helping you going back to his family at night, playing with his kids, things like that.
Yeah, like I said before, I wouldn't know what I would do if I would be alone because in that moment, you're just like thinking all the time, 24/7 about my heart, what's going on. Then like you're thinking so much. And you got like with time, you got maybe depressed or something. So
yeah.
I was really happy that he was here for me. He was always like talking to me or anytime what I need, he was always here for me. That doesn't matter if I need medication or if I have to go to like a doctor appointment or anything, he was helping for me. So I think that was really good for me, like for the mental part, that I don't think too much about my heart. Mm-hmm. Of course you're thinking, like before you go to bed, you're thinking a little bit about that. So, but yeah, I was happy that he was here for me, because even like the whole family from him, the wife and the kids. So yeah, I am just thankful for that.
I was talking to Dylan Stanley, your trainer back home, who plays professionally in Austria for your hometown team, and he told me that you not working out, that's like, you know, a kid learning to crawl and not being allowed to crawl. I mean, a kid learning to walk and not being allowed to walk. What was that like for you? I mean, we see your social media and what kind of fitness, you're a gym rat, a rink rat, to not be able to do anything had to be just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it was really hard, because like I said, as an athlete, you're used to do something, at least something. And I think like the first 4 or 5 days, or like for the first week, it was good. Like it didn't feel bad. But then with time, you were like thinking so much about it and say, okay, I want to do something, just like put a stick in my hand or anything. But I couldn't. That was really hard, like for the mental stuff, because like you can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's so weird, like for an athlete to know, or like to say to myself, I can't do anything for such a long time. And then you always hear like the news from doctors, but we don't know if you're ever gonna come back. So then you just want to do something to know, to say to myself, okay, no, I'm ready to play. But when you can't do anything for such a long time and doctors are saying that, then you're like worrying a lot about it. But yeah, I mean, like I did a really good job on that, because I had a really good support from my family, from my girlfriend, from a lot of people around me. They were supporting me, and that was really important for me, to not think all the time about my heart or anything. And I think I did a really good job on that. And after 5 months, I could finally work out again, and it felt amazing.
Yeah, Marco just did a press conference, and he said that when he would go for walks, his heart rate would get up to 110, which is kind of like a sports writer, but not for a professional athlete. Marco, when did you, like, during, great question from a fan here on Twitter, basically said, like, when did you, during your comeback, sort of say, I know that now I'm healthy, I got this, I could do this? Like, when did you stop thinking about your heart?
Like at the beginning, of course, I was working out. You're like a little bit worried. Okay, I go, like when you feel something, you're just worried about, mm-hmm. Okay, what is it? But the good thing was that I had a lot of doctors, especially at the beginnings, like every second day I had a meeting with them to check my heart. And it was really important for me, like mental part, that I know, okay, I don't have anything anymore, and 100% clear, and I can go 100%. And for mental part, it was really important, because if I would think the whole time, then you don't reach your limits. And so I was thankful for that. And even like after 2 or 3 months, I always had some doctor meetings just to make sure everything is good, and so that I don't have to worry about. But I think like after the first month, I knew, okay, I'm gonna be stronger back. And yeah, since that, I had one goal, and that's to be better than before. And it happened.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you've been saying all summer. How hard is it to, your dad rented you a sheet of ice basically all summer, you two a days, I know. And when do you, like, how hard is it to simulate, those type of training sessions for what you guys did today?
Like at the beginning, it was important for me to get the ice feeling back, to get used to it again, just like to be skating out there. And I think like the first week we just went like with the intensity to 20 seconds, and that was it, like just 20 seconds, then a little bit break, 20 seconds to get used to that again. But yeah, and then second week we always went up a little bit, like then second week 30 seconds, third week 40 seconds, and after 4 weeks we said, okay, now we do more battle drills and stuff like that. And then I had a really good week with like Pius Suter, Jonas Siegenthaler, Dennis Malgin, Philipp Kurashev, Timo Meyer, and yeah, there were like a lot of players out there from the NHL. Nino Niederreiter was there too.
Yep. Love Nino.
So that was good to get in some games again and some battle drills. And so in that point, I know, okay, I'm ready. I'm more than ready than before. And this gives you like you so much confidence.
Yeah. The Now you're back. I know that how confident you are in yourself. Today is, in your mind, the first day at training camp, right? I mean, I know that you have two scrimmages coming up Friday and Sunday, and this podcast, by the way, will be published after that. But how much do you look, and I'm sure Boldy's going to say the same thing, how much do you look at now as sort of like, all right, this is not rookie camp. This is the beginning of training camp. You saw the brass watching you today, the Dean Evason and his coaching staff. This is not just a couple of rookie games.
Exactly. Like, it says rookie camp, but everyone is here to make the team and to make an impact. But everyone knows, or I know, that you have to earn that spot. It's not going to say, okay, you make the team. Like, you got to earn it and got to show why you want to make the team. You got to make, like, an impression for them. So, yeah, my goal is just to think, like, day by day, to make every day the best out of me, to be better than before, and just compete on a high level. And I think that's my game. I don't want to think too much about anything else. And I'm thinking about this week now and day by day. And then after that week, I go from the next.
You're still technically the reigning OHL MVP because there was not an OHL season last year. Leading scorer, I think first European import to win that, to lead that league in scoring. How much do you think that game can translate to the NHL level, or you know, do you, I know you don't want to admit it, or do you think you might need some time in Iowa to just learn the North American pro game?
No, I know the American hockey game. Like, that's my game. I love to play on a small area. That's exactly my game, to be on a transition or on a small area. I love to protect the puck, make quick plays. I think that's exactly my game, and you could see, like, in Ottawa, that was my game. And I think the difference between OHL and NHL is just that everything is a little bit much better. They're faster, they're stronger, they're like just winning more battles. Maybe they make some better puck placements and stuff like that. So, but I think that's my game. And like I said many times before, I think, like, I'm ready. I know that.
Have you gotten, I know that you spent most of January and part of February here, but you weren't able to do much other than see the inside of probably doctor's offices and maybe a couple times at the practice facility. Have you gotten to know your teammates a little bit here, though, just because you've been around the team, like your actual Minnesota teammates?
Yeah, I've been here now for 2 weeks, and I've been skating with them, like most of them. So I got to know them, a lot of them players, I think almost everyone. I think maybe not two players, but the rest, I've met everyone.
Yeah, and did you get to be around them in January too, or are you pretty much not allowed at the practice facility?
I was there maybe at the games, but not really much. Maybe after the game, I saw some players, but maybe just for small talk.
Have you gotten to explore the Twin Cities a little bit? I know you said you went to Minneapolis and things like that. Finally gotten to see some restaurants, maybe a Twins game, something, or no?
No, a Twins game not, because with baseball, I'm not really, like, I have no idea about baseball, to be honest. But even with American football, like, I don't know the rules, because, like, we as a European, we don't really watch that. But it would be, of course, it would be really fun to watch a game there. I know, like, I watched a game in Arizona, like Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
baseball game, but I think we were watching like 2 hours and we didn't know what was going on. We were just eating, and then we were saying, okay, now let's go home.
Yeah. What's your other sport? Do you play anything else or no?
No, I do soccer, tennis, basketball, and a lot of other stuff, yeah, but I love to play soccer and tennis.
Yeah, just watching you on social media, I saw that really, sort of after you got the clean bill of health, you took a family vacation and with your girlfriend to Dubai. I've never been to Dubai. Tell me about that place.
It's amazing. It was probably the best vacation I ever did. It's so beautiful there. It's hot there, but it's amazing with the sea, with all the buildings there, with the food. Everything is just amazing there.
Yeah,
I could go there like anytime.
And you did some other vacations as well this summer?
Yeah, I went to Italy.
Okay,
it was just like 2 hours from my home.
Right.
So because like where I live, it's everywhere. It's really close. Like Swiss, it's like 5 minutes.
Right.
And Germany, like 10 minutes. So
right. So you're kind of like by a, like Salzburg area, or
no? Italy is like in the south.
Okay.
And Salzburg is in the north. So yeah, I went to the south.
Yeah. Lastly, I mean, you know, what is the biggest objective here in the next, you know, sort of 3-4 weeks to show management?
To play my game. Like I know, of course, I have a lot of confidence in myself, but I always say like I have to earn my spot, and I want that they know why I'm on the team, and that's just like my mindset, my matureness on the ice, my smartness on the ice, my readiness and my competitiveness level, and how they work. And I'm a good playmaker, and I'm a really good offensive player, but I'm not just good there. I'm really good in defensive zone too. And yeah, I just love to win the game.
Yeah. Well, hey, Marco, as you know, a lot of Wild fans have been supporting you here the last year. It's just finally great to see you healthy and on the ice, and somebody that we'll get to cover here for hopefully the entire season and many years to come. Thanks, Marco, for joining.
Thank you very much. Thank
that
you.
Is Marco Rossi, Minnesota Wild center. My sincere thanks to Marco Rossi. Just a real fun kid to talk to, and I'm just really, really happy for him. I've just gained an immense amount of appreciation and respect for him, getting to know him the last several months, by phone, by text, and just what he's gone through. When I first did that interview in March, when he talked to me and really explained to me everything that was going on in his life and how difficult it was for this kid who was 19 years old to not only know if his career was in jeopardy, but his life. When he sat there and told me about how he used to essentially cry in his parents' arms at night and beg them to sleep in his room because he was worried whether or not his heart would stop ticking and he would even wake up in the morning. It's just hard to hear something like that and not well up and feel an immense amount of sadness for the kid. And now to see him on the other side of this and being so happy and confident in his health and confident in his abilities, and then to see him get it done on the ice this week and look as good as he did, it just gives you a lot of hope for the future, for the franchise, for him. And it was just really fun to see.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So from one top prospect to another, let's talk about Matt Boldy. I know a lot of people that know Matt well. I've heard so many great things about this kid. He's so affable and so good on the ice, and getting to see him really step up this week and show what type of game breaker he could be, what type of scorer he could be, how confident he is on the ice. It was also really, really cool to see. And he's another guy you hope could really turn into a heck of a player for this franchise. It was a real fun conversation with Matt Boldy, and here is Matt right now. Next up in the Straight from the Source podcast, Matt Boldy, and I was just joking with Matt. It's the first time I've seen you since you embraced your old coach with USA Hockey, Robo, and felt like every USA Hockey player was taken in your draft in the first round. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. That was a special night for sure, being able to share with those guys. I think there were 8 of us, so being able to share that moment with those guys and really have that dream come true all together on the same night was something really special.
What's it like to finally be here? I mean, you came to, there was one development camp, right? And you did, was there the Traverse City rookie tournament that you were part of?
I didn't play I didn't play at Traverse City.
Oh, right, because you're at BC.
College,
so yeah. This is, I mean, you know, and then obviously the pandemic, last two development camps canceled. So this is sort of like, for you, the first as well, right?
Yeah, so basically my second camp, if you're counting that first development camp here. So it's exciting, though.
How much was it nice to be on the ice today with guys like Rossi and Mitchell Chafee and Adam Beckman and some of these prospects that we've been seeing and hearing so much about for the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's nice to get out there with all the guys. It's kind of in my head the official start of the hockey season, which is awesome. And being out there and actually getting a real practice in rather than summer skates and stuff like that is really nice. But being out there with those guys and getting to become friends with a lot of them last year playing in Iowa and coming in knowing them, it's made it a lot easier. But being out there and kind of working with them and playing with them and making plays, it's awesome.
Yeah, and you got to see these guys, as you mentioned, in Iowa last year. And how much more confidence does that give you now coming to camp and feeling like, you know what, I've gotten that taste of pro hockey. I skated in warm-ups in the playoffs. Now is the time, like, hey, there's jobs open for this team. Give me one of them.
Yeah, I think it gives me a lot of confidence coming in. I think for me, it's just about kind of playing my game and doing what I do best rather than focusing on the future. Staying in the moment's the biggest thing for me, but it's exciting. I think coming in, the biggest thing is just the comfort level I have is a lot better than my first development camp, being able to meet a lot of these guys last year and become friends with them coming in and been able to rely on them and talk to them about stuff rather than kind of coming in, not alone, but kind of on an island by yourself where you don't really know anyone, but coming in and knowing those guys, it makes it a lot easier.
Let's go back to the springtime. I mean, you know, you're not dumb. You're not blind. You probably see social media and how much Wild fans were just clamoring for you to make your NHL debut last year in the playoffs late in the regular season. From your standpoint, what was it frustrating that you didn't get in, and did the management ever kind of explain why you didn't?
Yeah, I talked to him, but for me, I think it wasn't really frustrating. I think for me, I was waiting for my spot, and I want that time. I still want that time to be when they want me in that game, and when they think it's best for me and for the team and stuff like that. And it was a pretty unique situation that I was in. So mm-hmm. For me, it wasn't that frustrating as much as I think other people viewed it as something that was so bad for me. I was up with the big club, and I think that was another step towards that future goal of playing there.
You're not on Twitter, right?
I'm not, no.
Right, but I know your mom and your aunt are, right?
Yeah, they are.
They're prolific on there.
Yeah.
Your aunt especially, I think she's in Cali. She's always on there
She loves it.
Yeah.
She loves
How much
it.
Is it nice that you have all the support? I know your dad as well. I mean, you know, like, it just feels like you've got a lot of people behind you as a support system.
Yeah, we got a big family. Like you said, it's an awesome support system, knowing those guys. My whole family's looking after me, and they're always there for me no matter what, hockey-related, unhockey-related. But knowing that they have my back and that they care so much about me and my future, it makes going through this process a lot easier.
The last year of the pandemic has been something that all of us have obviously grown to just despise. For you, you had an incredible year, though. I mean, let's look back at this past year. I mean, you get a gold medal in the World Juniors, obviously a big year for Boston College, and then you sign your first pro contract. Was, from that standpoint, I mean, was it sort of a dream season for you?
Yeah, it was an awesome year. I think winning a national championship at BC would have made it a little bit better. Yeah. But it was a good year. I think with all the negatives we had, being able to go and play hockey, we were already fortunate with that. But to have the year we had at BC, we had an unbelievable team, fell a little bit short. But that was an unbelievable year with that group of guys and some of my best friends playing hockey. Some of the most fun I think I've had ever playing hockey with those guys. But then adding World Juniors onto it and finally getting that gold medal that a lot of that group there playing at the national program kind of fought for a bit, losing at U18 Worlds and finally winning that together was really special. And then signing my first pro contract and going to Iowa and playing well and kind of doing what I needed to and producing was awesome. So
I don't know if Tim Army has ever said it to you, but he compares you to a guy like Mikko Rantanen. First of all, has he given you that?
He has.
Uh-huh. And he coached Mikko. So that, mm-hmm. I mean, right away when you hear that and then the way that you performed on the big world stage at World Juniors, I mean, how much confidence does that get you that, like, hey, I am, you know, I could be a stud in this league?
I think it definitely gives you some confidence. I think that's something that Tim does a really good job with is talking to his guys and reviewing certain stuff and making sure his guys know what they need to work on and stuff like that. I think you gotta give him a lot of credit for how good he is at that as a coach, but hearing that comparison, it's awesome. Alex Newhook, who's one of my best friends, obviously he's been around him quite a bit playing in Colorado, and just the stories he's told about how good he is and stuff like that, it definitely is a good confidence booster. But I mean, you can be compared to those guys. You still got to show up and show it and kind of work towards that. That's the end goal right now. But
that day, it felt like all you guys signed on the same day, right? Out of Boston College, pretty much?
Pretty close.
I mean, was it, you know, do you almost make that as a group decision, or was it everybody individually?
No, it was an individual decision for everyone. I think that was something that a lot of people have asked if it was a group decision or not, but I think everyone's on their own path. Everyone's doing what's best for them rather than what's best for everyone as a whole. At that point, it's worrying about yourself in a way, not selfishly or anything like that, but it's a personal decision that you got to make to make that decision to leave BC. And I think all of us will sit here and say it was one of the hardest decisions we've made. That place is awesome, and coaching staff we have there and everything like that, it's hard to leave such a good place and where hockey's so good and stuff like that. But it's definitely individual. We obviously had our conversations with each other about it, but it was definitely more of an individual decision rather than one group deciding that we're all going
to
leave.
What would it be like if all of a sudden this year you guys are playing Colorado and you get to look across the line and there's Alex?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I think he's one of my best friends. My roommate for 2 years at BC, and spent the last month of the summer with him in Boston. He came and worked out and skated with me, which was awesome. But that's an unbelievable moment. I think you spend 2 years of your life playing with this guy, being your best friend, and to look over and see him playing an NHL hockey game with you, it's a dream come true. I mean, that's just moments like that's what you really look forward to. There's a lot of guys that I think you can share those moments with that I know that I'm pretty close with, but that'd be a pretty special one.
Rantanen's obviously a right wing. I mean, do you look at yourself as a future right wing in the NHL, or what do you think?
Honestly, I don't mind either side. Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable playing both. So really it falls into where I fit in the lineup more, to be honest. I feel equally comfortable playing the right side as I do as the left, being a lefty. So
right. A couple fun questions from Twitter from fans. This one had me laughing. Asks Matt, how does it feel to live in the state with the best college hockey teams?
Oh, it's awesome. It's
rivalry with the East Coast.
Yeah,
schools, right?
Made my childhood a lot more interesting being able to go and watch those games. I grew up going to a lot of the BC games and watching the BCBU games or going to the Bean Pond, stuff like that. It was
just, so you know, though, this fan saying that Minnesota, that you live in the state now with the best college hockey team.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
already a wild fan.
I was already saying that. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Boston because we do have the best college schools, but no, it's pretty cool being here and kind of breaking into the new area and stuff and starting to learn different parts about it.
Do you feel like you already have an in with Bill Guerin just because he went to BC and there's that little...
I think that's a tough one coming in as a young guy to make that comparison, but I think it's a little bit more comforting knowing that he's been at BC and kind of going through similar steps that you're going through and stuff like that. Just another person you can lean on and ask for advice.
Some more questions from Twitter. What's your any other sports that you played or that you love?
Yeah, I grew up playing a lot of sports: lacrosse, baseball, golf. Golf's probably my biggest one right now that I keep with. Ended up having to quit baseball and lacrosse because hockey started getting in the way a bit, but. I golf a lot now with my older brother and my friends all summer long. So,
any what players did you look up to growing up?
I think for me, the player I looked up to the most when I was little was Sidney Crosby. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy answer. He was kind of the young stud coming into the league, first overall pick and everything like that. So growing up and being a young kid, seeing this 18, 19-year-old kid light it up in the NHL was really interesting to me. So he was someone I gravitated towards.
Have you gotten to explore Minnesota yet, and what's your favorite part?
I haven't. Not too much.
Yeah.
Kind of been around St. Paul a lot, but other than that, I haven't made my way too far.
Best, right now, favorite music or band, something that you listen to before games?
I like country a lot. I like Thomas Rhett. He's probably one of my favorite.
This offseason there was a lot of talk with the Wild on the Jack Eichel stuff, and I'm sure you saw your name and like, oh, if they're going to trade for Eichel, well, obviously it's going to have to be a top prospect in there. Was there any part of you that even stressed over that, or is that something that you just don't even worry about?
Not really. It's like we were saying before, I'm not on Twitter, so I don't see a lot of that stuff. But
now I let you know.
I saw it pop up a few times, but it's nothing you really worry about too much.
Right, exactly. Just being out there today with guys like Rossi, you know, it just feels like that you guys are always going to be grouped together and things like that. Is that cool, or will there be like a little rivalry there? Like, I got to make at least your different positions.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think it's pretty cool. I think that rivalry, I think, is a good thing. I think, in a way, if you want to call it that, I think to be grouped together with a guy like that, it's like I was saying, it's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing, being mm-hmm. able to push each other and make each other better. I think getting to know him the last few weeks, he doesn't seem like the kid that's going to do something bad to hurt me, and I'm definitely not the kid that's going to do something bad to hurt him in any way. So I think the biggest thing is working together and talking to each other and making each other better with that competitiveness that we have with each other, but that competitiveness that's in the best way possible.
In camp, do you guys have roommates or no?
We do.
Okay,
yeah.
So who's your roommate here?
Bankier.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what other stuff will you guys be doing during rookie camp? I know you got the media mm-hmm. seminars, nutrition seminars.
Yeah, we I don't think we have too much. We got a few dinners planned, I think, but other mm-hmm. than that, it's nothing crazy. Just almost better. You get to kind of hang around the guys on your own terms and get to meet them that way rather than kind of being forced together a bit, which sometimes doesn't work out the best. But I think getting to know all these guys that are here now, and a lot of them are new faces to me, guys that I haven't met before. So it's nice to make some new friends.
And just last couple of minutes with you, Matt. You know, I was talking to Brad Bombardier yesterday, and he said that and just seeing you now, it's clear you had a big summer. I mean, you know, how just getting that taste of Iowa and then coming into the offseason, what were some of the things that they told you to work on this offseason, and how much, you know, what did you do in the gym and on the ice?
Yeah, I think talking to them at the end of the year, it was kind of becoming a little bit more explosive, and with that's going to make my skating better and everything like that. But I think the biggest thing for me was the group that we worked out with, worked out at EPS in Boston. We got 20 NHL guys in there mm-hmm. every day in the summer. So being around those guys makes it pretty easy to compare yourself to them. And you're seeing one guy lifting that much. It makes it pretty easy to go over there and try to do it yourself. And I think that's another one of those competitiveness things that's for the best for everyone. Being put in that situation, I think, helped me a lot, because see all these guys that are playing the NHL and doing so well, and seeing what they're doing, it makes it easy to kind of replicate that, and it makes yourself better. And like you said, I worked on a lot of different stuff, but I think overall, just every part of me got a little bit better this summer.
Who are some of those NHLers that worked out there?
We got a lot of guys. We got like Kevin Hayes, Noah Hanifin, Colin White, Zach Sanford, Wallstrom, Newhook, mm-hmm. Matthias Samuelson.
Coyle's not in that one.
Coyle's
right?
in okay, it too. Yeah. Coyle, Donato, Wagner.
Right.
We got a lot of guys.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of Boston twangs there.
Exactly.
Charlie Coyle is one of the best people around.
Best guys around, yeah.
Yeah, he's
awesome.
Just, yeah, he, as good he, a guy
he's
as
He's taken
there.
Care of me for yeah. the last few summers. So
that's really cool. You know, just lastly, I mean, you just mentioned, I mean, what did he tell you about Minnesota and this organization? So I know he did love it here.
Yeah, he had nothing but good things to say. I think that summer I got drafted, I was working out with those guys, and I think he was one of the first people to come up and say if I ever need anything. Mm-hmm. I think he was out of Minnesota by then already too, and just if I ever need anything, just give him a call or a text and he'll help me out and stuff like that. But he had nothing but good things to say. Mm-hmm. And just talking about how much I'm going to love it and how much fun it's going to be for me. Yeah.
And just lastly, I mean, I know that this to you is probably the first day of actual training camp, not mm-hmm. rookie camp. What do you expect that in 3 weeks that we are going to see you in a Wild uniform on opening night in Anaheim?
I mean, that's the hope for me. I uh-huh. think I was telling them over there in the media that it's kind of just a day-by-day thing for me. I think that's the best way to approach it, and not looking too far into the future. I think right now it's this camp right now, and then it will go into the other camp, but just going day by day rather than looking into the future and I think the more I look into the future and think about that, the more it affects me on a daily basis. So just kind of staying in the moment and having fun with it is the biggest thing for me.
I think the one cool thing from my perspective covering this training camp, though, is that for the first time in a long time, there's actual jobs open. Like, mm-hmm. there's roster spots available. And I assume that for players like you, that does give you hope. There's so many times I come to camp and you hear, like, you know, players like, I want to make the team, but then you do the math and you realize there's really no way you're going to. There are two, maybe three jobs open.
Yeah, I think there's definitely spots and chances and places that I think I can play in that lineup, no doubt. But like I was saying, it's a few weeks away right now. But just taking that day by day, I think, is the biggest thing for me. I've honestly tried not to look at it too much. I think if I go out there and just play my game and play the way that I know I can, and then if you do that and you know you play good hockey, you just put it in their hands and they make the decision for you. It's, you don't have much say other than what you do out there. So,
well, hey, Matt, I really do appreciate you doing this. Looking forward to covering you. Been watching from afar for a long time. You've some of the greatest agents around too, and the Bartletts
I
as
do.
Well.
Exactly.
I've known Brian, your agent's dad, Steve, forever, and he's just absolute beauty. So, and also knew a lot of guys on that World Junior team too. So, just really looking forward to covering you and getting to see you out on the ice here starting this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Appreciate it.
So, my thanks to both Marco Rossi and Matt Boldy. And if you are listening to this podcast, you know that there are podcasts all throughout our platform. One of my favorite ones is The Athletic Hockey Show. It publishes every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday with Ian Mendez and Sean McAndoo, Haley Salvian. This week, Sean Gentile, Max Boltman, Corey Promen, Craig Custance are all on it as well. So definitely listen to that. Read all my coverage during upcoming Wild training camp. If you are not an Athletic subscriber, now is the time to get in because training camp is right around the corner. Maybe one of these days you'll be able to read my Kirill Kaprizov signed story that, by the way, has been written for about 2 months. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a nice rating and review. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, annual subscriptions to The Athletic are 50% off when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource.